The Pharisees would say, for example, if you swear by the altar, then you're off the hook, your oath doesn't count. But if you swear by the gift on the altar, then you're bound by it, you know. This is not how people with integrity live. And so St. James and our Lord, come to that, are saying that, look, your word is your word.
Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light, an international broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our featured interview today is going to touch on some of the more controversial points from the book of James.
Don't try to weasel out of it. Don't try to say to your friend, you didn't read the fine print. I didn't say by the gift on the altar. I just said by the altar, and so therefore you're out of luck. You can whistle for your $20. No, St. James says, have the integrity so that people can count on your word.
And we'll cover some more contemporary hot topics by discussing the content of a brand new book.
As I say, we just followed our heart. We developed it into, you know, considering abortion and welfare. And it began from one thing and sort of developed from there. We didn't have a plan to begin with and then flesh it out.
Well, we do have a plan for today's broadcast, and I hope you can stay tuned as we come to you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos.
It's up to us. It's not this mean, judgmental God out there saying, stay off the grass. I mean, we have the commandments because that is what is going to make us, and I'll be careful with that word, happy, but satisfied, fulfilled, joyful.
The authors of the new book that I alluded to are a husband and wife writing team, and this will be their first time in our studios. Welcome again to Come Receive the Light. We are a nonprofit outreach, and we depend upon your encouragement, your support, and look forward to hearing from you. I'll have some more details on how you can get in touch as we move on through our half hour together. Here's our host with the first conversation, Father Chris.
I'm joined today by Peter and Helen Evans. They're here to talk about the book Get Serious, The Church's Stand on Contemporary Culture, in which they speak with a variety of people about major issues facing the world today. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Good afternoon, Father.
What inspired you to pull together this series of interviews and publish them? Let me go to, I guess I'll go to you first, Peter.
About 15 years ago, we realized that we had to get serious. We were kind of wandering in the new age, and there was glimmers of truth amidst the glamour of Eastern religion and theosophy and all this kind of stuff. But it turned out not to be true enough. When we pushed, when we wanted to get to the bottom of something, we found that there was no bottom there, or else we hit bottom depressingly soon. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of nonsense out there and a lot of deception. A lot of the vocabulary, the spiritual vocabulary, had been hijacked from Christianity. And we began to realize that we were in danger. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that we were on the right track, and that's why we started doing some research, and it developed into these interviews with knowledgeable people.
It makes sense. On the front cover of your book, Helen, it reads, "Whoever said Christianity was nice." Does that mean we're all heartless?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, Christianity, and we want to make a point for people who perhaps don't even open the book, that Christianity goes way beyond nice. We're mandated to love not only people we like or mm-hmm. people who are good to us, but our enemies also.
Yeah.
And It gives people a contemplation on what does love really mean. There's a lot of it out there right now that means, let me get away with anything I want.
Hmm.
Or, tell me no shame, no blame. It's part of that self-esteem movement that's out there. And so love has been kind of corrupted too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people say, well, let's just be nice. Let's not rock the boat here.
That biblical definition or that Christ-centered definition of love is really messed up these days, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to, at least, if people don't even open the book, let's start a contemplation on what does love mean.
Okay. And I know from your book that you cover six topics. I'm wondering how you chose those specific topics in the plethora of topics that are out there facing the world today. But Peter, why don't you answer that one for us?
Well, we followed our hearts. We were intrigued by a book called The Virtue of War, And we thought, what the heck could this be?
Hmm.
And it turned out to be written by an Orthodox chaplain.
Yes.
Father Alexander Webster.
He's been on our program before.
Yes. And we went to see him, and this was instrumental in bringing us closer to the Orthodox faith.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like such a paradoxical thing. And from there, as I say, we just followed our heart. We developed it into considering abortion and welfare, and it's hard to say that it began with from one thing and sort of developed from there. We didn't have a plan to begin with and then flesh it out.
Okay.
Although that's going to be coming for the next one.
Okay. Well, Helen, three of the interviews are with Orthodox priests, so let's talk about those. You spoke with Father Jonathan Tobias from St. John the Baptist Church in Pittsburgh about euthanasia. What did you learn from him?
Oh, first of all, we want to thank them. They were just wonderful. And I'll confess to you fathers there that we set up the questions. We knew what answers would come because
okay.
we said over the time, we've heard even coffee hour in the public square, people are asking these questions. So we set them up, but each one had their own particular take on them. And what we wanted to look at is the underlying worldview of why someone would come up with that answer. And with Father Tobias, he's just marvelous, and the one thing he emphasized is that the kingdom is open. The doors are wide open all the time. It's up to us. It's not this mean, judgmental God out there saying, stay off the grass. I mean, we have the commandments because that is what is going to make us, and I'll be careful with that word, happy, but satisfied, fulfilled, joyful, to be all we can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what comes across from that. It's not just live by these terrible rules that a vengeful God is putting out there. This is a very loving, merciful God. And that's part of what we found wonderful from his interview.
And Peter, he talks about how modern society thinks of loving as a desire to make another's life, let's say, easier or painless, as opposed to the Christian understanding of love as concern for salvation of another person. Can you add your thoughts to the thoughts that Father Tobias gave you there?
Well, it struck us that the modern concern of the contemporary understanding of compassion and love is a symptom of the sort of conventional materialism that if things aren't comfortable, then something must be wrong, and all efforts must be bent toward making people comfortable. And that's not only physically comfortable, but also emotionally comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of compassionately killing another person just because everyone involved is uncomfortable with the situation is kind of the appalling extreme that we've arrived at.
Yes, yes, yes. Truly, truly we have. And I know you also spoke with the renowned theologian Father Thomas Hopko, who, of course, has been on this program many, many times. You spoke about abortion. Tell us what the thrust of his comments were about abortion.
Well, first of all, Father Tom is adamant. He is stalwart. He is a tower of moral strength. And he says abortion is always wrong.
Hmm.
The Christian will do everything possible to protect life and condemn its destruction. It was so refreshing to hear someone who was not waffling about it. Well, maybe in some situations, you might, and it was totally bracing to encounter such a clarity of expression.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Helen, let me ask you also. Many people say that they are against abortion, except in the case of a danger to the mother. This is something that your husband Peter was talking about here, that Father was just so adamant about it. Did he shed any light on maybe a situation that in the case of the danger to the mother's life or that the person has been raped, did he deal with that issue in any way?
Oh, yes, indeed. He we're living in a fallen world, and we have to understand that. We have to understand that most of the time we're not faced with a choice between good and evil. A lot of times we're faced with a choice between bad and worse. and we have to make that choice. And what we have to, the underlying idea here, as we were talking about with being nice and so on, is that so many people just want to be justified anymore rather than asking for forgiveness from God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we have to do, is repent and ask for forgiveness, and we will be forgiven. I mean, ask from our heart. Again, going back to the idea that these things were given to us, confession and asking for forgiveness, because God knows this is who we are as human beings. This is what makes us whole again. We see so many problems out there where this may be a situation where someone is faced with it and they couldn't understand it. We still have to realize we have to ask for God's mercy in these situations. But once we do, the forgiveness is there, and people don't have to turn to drugs and the sadness and depression and all the terrible things that we hear about these days. Once they've given up religion and God in their life, these things fill the void.
Surely they do.
But we have been given these things, and it's not stay off the grass. It's because these are things that will make us whole.
Well, Peter and Helen, this sounds like just a very, very exciting book. Finally, I'd like to ask you, I know you spoke with Father Hans Jacobs, a good friend of ours, on war.
Right.
But it seemed to me that he spoke more about evil than war itself. What did you think?
Well, we thought that was absolutely the way it should go.
Okay.
Again, we'll go back to some of our talks that we've been doing. We find so often that in the whole society, we have some people talking about the same exact subject, but they're talking about something different. They're using the same words.
Yes.
In our talks, we read from a segment of the book by Father Alexander Schmemann of Water and Spirit. And he talks about evil being a real entity that the church has to deal with. And there is something in society right now that says, no, it's just a lack of ignorance. You don't have to do that. You don't have. And, of course, people aren't evil, but there is evil out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people could both be talking about evil, and it's a totally different idea that they have. And that's where some of the ideas that we've come up with, the therapeutic society, it's not really all you have to do is educate someone, enlighten them, and evil will not be there.
Mm-hmm. That evil does exist.
But evil does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do with it when
mm-hmm.
we face it personally?
Right.
What do we do when we face it in society? It's not just war. What would we do with policemen? If we don't believe evil exists, why not get rid of the policemen?
Mm-hmm. And what did he say about, for example, interpret the call to love our enemies?
That was a tough one, and it's conventionally misunderstood. Often people think, oh, well, love your enemy, that means pretending that they're our friends. And it's not that at all. It means to recognize them as enemies, recognize them as inimical to our salvation and their own, and to deal with them appropriately, but to deal with them lovingly, and to not be tainted by the evil that is infecting them and making them into our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenging situation, though, isn't it? Easier said than done, absolutely.
Easier said than done. I mean, how do you take someone who is your so-called, I don't know if people are actually enemies of one another, they just get bent on one stream, and life becomes, they're trying to fulfill their own needs, and in the process of that, they wind up hurting other people. And the question
yes.
is, how do we remain with a tough enough skin and live in the truth so that no matter what is said, it doesn't affect us? And that's very difficult.
Well, I think that's what Paul is referring to when he talks of us sharing our burdens, sharing each other's burdens. We are burdened by the sins of those around us, as are those around us burdened by our own sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we all suffer as a result of the errors, let's put it mildly,
mm-hmm.
that we make with each other in our dealings with each other.
Certainly we do. Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time today to join us, both Peter and Helen. Listeners, be sure to visit OCN's bookstore and go to As Seen on OCN, the OCN page, to purchase a copy of this book. Remember, a portion of the cost goes to OCN and helps us bring you interviews with Orthodox authors from around the world. Thank you, Peter and Helen, very much.
Thank you, fathers.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Again, that's Peter and Helen Evans, and the title of their book is Get Serious, The Church's Stand on Contemporary Culture. And the website that Father Chris alluded to is our website for the ministry, the Orthodox Christian Network, myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Would you like to be a part of Come Receive the Light? It's very simple. Probably the two best ways are for you to pray for Come Receive the Light and the Orthodox Christian Network, and then give us some feedback, particularly your comments about this broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. If there's anything we can do differently, then we would like to try and meet your needs. And if you'd like to contribute to the ministry, we'd love that too. You can do that safely and securely when you go to the website. Again, myocn.net.
You know, it's St. Paul's writing to the Galatians or to the Romans or to the Corinthians or the Thessalonians. St. James writes his epistle to the rest of his Jewish compatriots. James, the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the diaspora. Mm-hmm. Greetings. So to really understand what he's saying, you have to catch the other half of the conversation. Who was Paul talking to? What were those guys saying? Who is James talking to? What were those guys saying?
What was it that someone said? A comment without a context cannot be fully understood. Well, we're going to present the entire context on our feature interview for this week. It's coming up next. And again, here is our host, Father Chris.
Today we welcome Father Lawrence Farley back to the show. He's here to tell us about St. James the Apostle. Thanks again for joining us, Father.
It's my very great pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about James, who's called the brother of our Lord. Brother meaning, I guess, a kinsman. He was the bishop and an author of the epistle. But tell us more about him.
He was one of the so-called brethren of our Lord. You can read all about it in Mark 6 and Matthew 13. In the Mark 6 bit, our Lord is asked rhetorical questions such as, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and her sisters? Are they not here with us?" So that's the James, Yaakovos in the Greek. Which is to say Jacob. It was a very popular name among Jewish boys, as you can imagine, so mm-hmm. There were lots of Jameses. He was one of the apostles, so-called, when St. Paul talked about being in Jerusalem very, very briefly, that he was saying, too briefly, in fact, to be instructed by the apostles. His instruction and apostolic mandate came direct from Christ. He said, "I saw no one except James, the Lord's brother." That's the particular James. And so, as one of the royal family, as it were, he was the head of the Jerusalem church group, and after his repose, I believe, another one of the brothers of our Lord, Simon, if memory serves, took over as the so-called bishop of Jerusalem in those days. So as the head of the Jerusalem community, he was the one who chaired, as it were, the first apostolic council described by Luke in Acts chapter 15. Peter was there, and of course Paul and Barnabas were there. They all made the contribution, but it was James who chaired it and tried to express the consensus and the letter that Paul carried to all of the churches of Syria and Cilicia was actually penned by James. So James was a very important figure. He was the hub at the center. All of the Jewish spokes of the mission came out from Jerusalem, mm-hmm. Zion, the mother of all churches, and James was the head of that mother church.
Some of the most famous verses from James' epistle, I believe, are in chapter 2, where he writes that faith without works is dead. We've heard that many, many times. There's actually quite a theological debate over that statement, isn't there, Father?
There is, especially in the West. There's, in my experience, not much of a debate within the Orthodox Church. We say, mm-hmm. Yep, that about describes our experience. Theology, of course, is trying to find words appropriate to explaining our experience of God. But in the West, especially in the 16th century or so, there was a tremendous amount of verbal mud wrestling, as it were, over the are you saved by works? Are you saved by faith alone? Are you saved by works and faith? And all of this sort of thing. With Luther coming down very strongly by saying you're saved by faith alone and works contributes absolutely nothing. A polemical opponents in the Roman Catholic Church saying you're saved by faith and works, or all of that sort of thing. Luther was particularly distressed by the book of James, and God bless him, suggested that it wasn't actually written by James, the brother of our Lord. It was kind of a spurious book, an epistle of straw, I believe he called it, and suggested that it was not written by a Christian, but by a mischievous non-Christian Jew who wanted to mess us up by saying things that were opposed to the Christian message. So that's the sort of level of polemics that was bedeviling the interpretation of the Epistle of James in the 16th century. Fortunately, in the Orthodox Church, a lot of we kind of bypassed the whole faith or works dichotomy and said, you're saved by grace in the sense that we cannot earn God's love. We don't have to earn God's love. God embraces us regardless of our brokenness, regardless of our sins, regardless of our stupidity, regardless of all of our lack of sanctification. We're saved by grace. We can't deserve God's love. He embraces us anyway. That's what the cross is about.
Okay.
And faith is our way of accepting that grace. Life of pistis, or faithfulness, is a way of saying, Lord, I love you back. As St. John says, we love because he first loved us. That grace is God loving us first, and our pistis, our faith, or our works, whichever way you want to describe it, this is the response of our little tiny love to God's overwhelming love. So grace comes first, I would suggest, and faith is our response to God's grace.
Okay, that's good. We're reading from Paul, we're hearing from James. I mean, are they having a debate? Are they challenging each other's teachings here? Because many people would probably say, well, you know, you just read Scripture and it is what it is. But there's a whole other level to reading Scripture. It's also the correct interpretation of what's there. Tell us
absolutely.
About that exchange between Paul and James here.
Absolutely. One does need to read Scripture, and a part of interpreting Scripture correctly is to look at it in its particular context. When you're looking at an epistle, of course, an epistle was written to somebody. You know, it's St. Paul's writing to the Galatians or to the Romans or to the Corinthians or the Thessalonians. St. James writes his epistle to the rest of his Jewish compatriots. James, the doulos, the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings. So to really understand what he's saying, you have to catch the other half of the conversation. Who was Paul talking to? What were those guys saying? Who is James talking to? What were those guys saying? And what the people that Paul were talking to, for example, they were the Jews who said, this Jesus stuff that you're saying, you know, this is all wrong. You are saved by piling up mitzvot, by piling up commandments, by your obedience to God. You are saved by doing a good work, and these good works, if you do enough of them, win the approval of God. You can earn God's love. And if you don't fulfill the law in all of the minutiae that the Pharisees came up with, then God will not accept you. God will not love you. You gotta. You're the delicate and complicated steps that you take according to the oral law of the Jews. This wins you God's love. And over against this sort of stupidity, Paul said, "No, God. What God wants is your heart. What God wants is a relationship with you. God wants you to offer your whole life to Him. God wants you to love Him. God's interested in this sort of relationship." And St. Paul defines this heart response to God as pistis, as faith. So St. Paul was talking to people who somehow said that by your actions, by your deeds, you can somehow earn God's love. That's one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
On another telephone line, where you had James talking to other people, and his conversation was a very different conversation. He was talking not to Jews who had a different kind of soteriology, a different understanding of how you were saved, how you were accepted by God. He was talking to nominal Jewish Christians. Of course, it was written earlier. All the Christians were Jewish. That's why when St. James sends his epistle out to all the diaspora of the 12 tribes, what he means is all of the Christians dispersed throughout the world. You see, what about the Gentile Christians? Well, there weren't any then worth talking about, you know, one centurion, whatever. So James, is talking to nominal Jewish Christians who said, look, I believe that God is one. I believe in the unity of God. I'm a monotheist. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's enough. You know, it doesn't really matter how I live. I can oppress the poor. I can lie as long as I use the right oath and that sort of thing. I can,
right.
I can do all of these things. God doesn't care about the quality of my life as long as I say there is no God, but the one God of Israel and Jesus is the Messiah. Then I'm good to go. And St. James says, no, God. It's the same message of that St. Paul's saying, but tweaked, as it were, to a different audience. St. James is saying God cares how you live. When he wants your heart, that means he wants your life. That means he cares how your life lives. You can't just say, I believe in God and I'm good to go and I treat my neighbor like trash. Mm-hmm. No, you have to, if you love God, you show your love for God by your love for your neighbor. He wouldn't have been quoting St. John because St. John hadn't written his first epistle yet, but it's the same principle. If you do not love your neighbor whom you have seen, how can you say that you love God whom you have not seen?
Okay.
So our love for God is manifested and proven in our love for our neighbor, or as we would say, our faith is manifested and proven in our works.
Let's go to a different quote. The kids today like to tell me that we love to live in the gray, Father. There's no such thing anymore as correct, right from wrong. And we see here in chapter 5, verse 12, where he says, not to swear by heaven and earth, but to let your yes be yes and your no be no. I think you're going to have a message for us here, Father.
Yes, especially when St. James says, don't swear. Of course, he's not talking about using profanity, but mm-hmm. he's talking about using oaths. And it needs a particular Jewish context. If you want to catch what Paul Harvey would say is the rest of the story, you kind of need to look at in Matthew 23, when our Lord's talking about the use of oaths and the casuistry, the attending the use of oaths on the that the Pharisees were using. The Pharisees would say, for example, if you swear by the altar, then you're off the hook, your oath doesn't count. But if you swear by the gift on the altar, then you're bound by it, you know. This is not how people with integrity live. And so St. James and our Lord, come to that, are saying that, look, your word is your word. Be honest enough so that your yes is yes and your no is no. Don't try to weasel out of it. Don't try to say to your friend, you didn't read the fine print. I didn't say by the gift on the altar. I just said by the altar. And so therefore, you're out of luck. You can whistle for your $20. No,
okay.
St. James says, have the integrity so that people can count on your word. It's one thing for the young people to say we live in the grays and there's no black and whites. You say that until you're the one that's out the $20. Then you find out that we want to live in the grays if it gets us off the hook, but we're not as content to live in a gray world if it gets somebody else off the hook, and we're the one trapped.
Okay. Father, we could spend all day with you. It's great to listen to you, and we love having your interpretations throughout the years that you've been on our show. I'd hope you could close by reading the special hymn. It's called the Apolitikion for St. James.
It would be my great joy. That particular tropar reads, as the Lord's disciple, O righteous one, you receive the gospel. As martyr, you have unwavering courage. As the Lord's brother, you have forthrightness. And as hierarch, you have intercession. Intercede with Christ our God, that our souls may be saved.
Thank you, Father, for coming on the show today. Listeners, to hear more interviews with Father Lawrence Farley and to purchase his commentary on James and other books of the Bible, please visit us at www.myocn.net. Thank you, Father.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
Father Lawrence Farley is the author of the Orthodox Bible Study Companion Series, and since 1987, he has served as the pastor of St. Herman's Orthodox Church in Langley, British Columbia. Come Receive the Light is a broadcast outreach of the Orthodox Christian Network. We appreciate you listening and participating. We'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with us by going to that website, myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And do join us next week at this same time on this same station for another edition of Come Receive the Light. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.